And good morning, everybody. Today is July 17th, 2020. This is Jay Lee with Aiken Teams. And unfortunately, no Craig this week. I was talking with him this morning. His internet is out. His cell phone has spotty coverage, so he couldn't join via a hotspot. So instead, I've brought two better-looking fellows with me, Matt Wade and Sven Seidenberg. Matt Wade, if you haven't heard of him, he wrote the original periodic table of Office 365 and is very well known in the community for his work advocating for Office 365 and the capabilities and what to use when. Sven Seidenberg and I met on LinkedIn, and this is actually our first face-to-face. Sven is a great consultant out of Germany one of the reasons we met was he was starting a series on user voice, which is Microsoft's way of gathering end user input for new features. And so every week he posts an article or a link to his favorite user voice of the week. So gentlemen, thank you for joining me. Matt, you want to start off with a quick introduction?
Yeah, sure. My name is Matt Wade, Microsoft MVP, and been doing a lot of stuff on chatbots and AI in the last few years, and known for some of the Office 365 work. So I'm a co-founder of Jump to 365, which is the company behind the periodic table of Office 365. And these days I'm making people able to create their own versions of the periodic table so they can actually have a customized modern workplace launch pad to get into places that people want to actually like work in.
Excellent. And Sven, welcome to the conversation.
Thank you. Yeah, my name is Sven Seidenberg. I'm from Germany, working as a consultant focusing on Microsoft Teams and the Office 365 online apps and services. And a big part of those projects is obviously change management and adoption. So this is part of my focus too. Yeah, and I'm doing some stuff on LinkedIn, as you mentioned, the user voice of the week. And I'm also blogging on my own blog.
Excellent. Yeah, I'll make sure we post links to your blogs, gentlemen, so make sure you send those over to me. I'm very excited to have you both here, partially because otherwise I'd be doing this by myself. But more specifically, I've enjoyed the conversation with you. Matt and I, we've been working together for a couple of years on and off as partners in the Office 365 space. And Sven, more recently, like I mentioned, was really excited to see when my company, AvPoint, pushed out most recently the Matt Wade's definitive guide to Rockstar. It is, pardon me, it's a follow-up. Well, I wouldn't say it's a follow-up. It's a second in the series, maybe, to your definitive guide on Teams etiquette, which was a massive hit. And frankly, I shared with most of my customers. Matt, you want to talk a little bit about how you moved from the etiquette in Teams to the Rockstar meetings?
Sure. So the etiquette aspect was sort of a big one. I think there, even before COVID occurred, because the etiquette guide now has been out for more than a year, I think, it was just one of those, the tool can do this, the tool can do that, but how should I use it and how should I apply it? And I thought that there was a real thirst out there for like the best practices, or if nothing else, for some people to walk away and say, okay, I've been confirmed that what I've been doing is good. Plus I walked away with a couple nuggets, right? Then COVID hit in March, and a major portion of the white collar workforce was sent home and told to work via Zoom or via Teams or via Skype or whatever else. For a lot of people, this is the first time they've ever worked from home. They've ever really had to depend on the concept of a virtual meeting. And virtual meetings, they suck sometimes. They really do. They're really hard to deal with. And they're awkward, and people stumble over each other. Even us, who we have experience doing this for years, we still have those just weird human, elements of technology. It gives me a 17 microsecond delay, and then all of a sudden everybody's jumping on top of each other, right? So I felt it was really a next step to take that section, that chapter of the original etiquette guide, which was some very basic stuff about meetings, and really dive into, okay, here's how meetings should probably work. It really doesn't matter what tool you use. If you want to be secure, use Teams. If you want it to be fun, use Zoom. If you want to be old school, go AIM, I guess. But Oof. It really just came down to think about, how do you want to meet? You can't, limit yourself to open-ended questions. Try to really have an agenda, even if you never did so before. And a lot of it came down to just basic meeting best practices, regardless of the tool, and how do you take those best practices and apply them into a 21st century pandemic situation, I guess.
Yeah, and it's absolutely true. It's funny, I did a webinar on, very early in the pandemic, I did a webinar on working from home, for a bunch of records managers. And I shared it with my mom because mom's curious of what I do. And I'm like, hey, this one's open to the public. Come join. So afterwards, she's like, it was very good, but it was really basic. How was it received? I'm like, they were very thankful. They thought the content was right on point. Most of them, especially like in the records management industry, they don't work remotely. They work with paper records.
Right.
And they're trying to move to that electronic place. But you're absolutely right. Those basic guides in how do I not work next to the person that I work with? That's a huge point. Sven, how did you and Matt get started working together?
So for this ebook, basically Matt reached out to me and asked if I can help him or contribute to this ebook and kind of bring some end user perspective to it from my experience. And so we started working on it.
Cool. Very cool. What's your so I'll go into this. What's your favorite tips, Ven, that's in the book there?
I really like the it's not about the tool part. So where we step back from the Microsoft Teams part and just have a basic view on the online meetings, because as Matt mentioned earlier, I think many people worked the first time from home, did online meetings for the first time, and I think this part probably helps everyone.
Yeah, I would agree there. Matt, what are you thinking when you look back at the 27 or so pages, where would you say your favorite? There's a lot there, I got to say.
There is a lot, yeah. And the problem with it was it depended on what kind of meeting you wanted, right? Did you want a regular scheduled meeting? Did you want an ad hoc, you know, meet now? Did you want a channel meeting? Did you want a live event? And like, there's a lot of if-thens built into that.
Yes.
It's really hard to build a book that way. I almost wish that I had the know-how to like build not even just a flow chart, but like a wizard to get somebody through and say, this is what you want. Here's the text you want to read. But I'll echo Sven there, because I think that the best practices of meetings in general are what people miss out on. And frankly, one of the best professional development courses I ever took was a meetings best practices course, like almost 10 years ago at this point. And at the time I was actually on a school board, a local school board, and became president eventually. And that was one of the most useful things, because when you are sitting in public, you know, in front of cameras, people, whatever, and you're asking, you know, how do people feel about, you know, item 7-1 on the agenda tonight, and nobody answers and it's crickets, like that being taught, no, you have to go around and say, hey, Jane, you haven't said much in the last couple hours. Like, you know, what do you think? I'd love to get your opinion on something. And it really came down to human aspects of, you know, I can be an extrovert in some cases and an introvert in some cases, and I will rely on my, if I'm silent, just let me be silent. But sometimes you just have to drag something out of somebody. And I think that's important. The other thing in this, and I think it really just comes down to the amount of effort and research it took. I think channel meetings are really, really cool. They're just really hard to figure out exactly how to use them correctly, because a lot of people expect them, you know, the invitees or the channel to all get invited automatically, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. There's reasons for it. It's not arbitrary. How to, you know, you can share a channel meeting externally with people, but they don't get to see the files in the chat. And like the amount of research necessary to understand channel meetings is actually pretty massive. So
yeah,
that's my favorite part, because I put a lot of work into it. So definitely read that, because a lot of people jump on channel meetings just because it's easy and they're there, but they don't necessarily know what they're doing when they do it.
Yeah, it's funny. We had a meeting with a customer yesterday. So we're in their tenant as guest users, and they created a channel meeting. And I looked back about an hour before, and I noticed a few people saying, wait, where's the meeting invite? So absolutely, the any information that's end user friendly, I'll call it, around channel meetings is greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite things about trying to schedule meetings like this is the email thread that says, well, I'm available at these 7 bulleted times. When are you available? And then by the time they respond, those times are passed. So I saw you had in there find time, which is a great tip for scheduling meetings with people who aren't in your network. You guys want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I'll jump in quick and Sven, I'll pass it off to you after. The just figuring out how to get people on the right time, I think, is a really big hurdle in everyday life. And it's a major first world problem, no question about it, but it's a problem and people need to figure that out. So being able to throw, we put in the 3 different ones, the first being the scheduling assistant, which has been in Outlook for probably 25 years, right? But it's there and it's useful, but it's only useful if you're internal. FindTime is my favorite because it's a polling system, and it's just like doodle.com if you ever use one of those, but it's made by Microsoft, it's free, and you can plug it into Outlook without any security concerns. So that's a really big win for a lot of organizations. And then Cortana is a big one too, because a lot of people like saying, hey, Cortana, go make an appointment sometime tomorrow with Jane and Andy and whatever. And I don't personally like that one because you have to have your work hours set up correctly so that it doesn't schedule at 9 p.m. If you're doing it across time zones, it can be a real pain. And if you have like this thing in your head where you know that you would prefer a meeting in the morning, but if you have to do the afternoon, that's fine. You can't tell the bot, I have a 9.8% preference for mornings over afternoons. And like, there is no gray area with the bot. The bot just does or doesn't. So yeah. Cortana, for some people, they love it. I'm not the biggest fan. I love FindTime because I can actually press buttons and like choose and show preference and all that stuff. And I think it's just a big one for a lot of people, just don't know it's there.
Yeah, when it comes to so I use Cortana to schedule a 1 hour meeting on my calendar for the next day for any time I'm free. It did have a preference for afternoon or mornings, but otherwise it looks in the afternoon, finds an hour block of free time and just puts something on the calendar for me. If it's not in the afternoon, it does in the morning. If I can't find one, it puts half an hour, which is nice. So Cortana's got some really cool stuff. Sven, what are your thoughts on FindTime, Cortana, on scheduling, even if it's from the softer side, right?
Yeah, I really like FindTime. Matt and I are using it a lot when we are trying to find times for meetings because we're in different time zones. Both of us are working, and sometimes it's not that easy. But I like the idea of the Cortana scheduling part. But sometimes it's hard because when you don't put in your transferring time between places, Cortana doesn't know that you are in the car for an hour driving back to the office or something like that. Yeah, and video meetings in the car or stuff like that aren't that great. So, probably FindTime is my go-to tool at the moment.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of putting video meetings on when I'm in the car and driving, just to shock people into the fact that I'm taking, like, look, you guys scheduled a meeting when I'm driving. Like, what do you want from me? I'm here. I'm not looking at the video. If you're sharing something, you know why I'm not looking at it.
But not only that, why not make something out of that driving time, which otherwise you'd just be listening to a podcast, right? Like, you know, or listening to the radio.
Exactly. So guys, when it came to the, you know, the ebook, we had that maybe 60 or 70% on the softer side of meeting skills, and only 30 or 40% on the technology side, which, I mean, I really did appreciate because it was mixed in very well. When it comes to the technology side of Microsoft Teams, what's your favorite part about running a meeting in Teams? Sven, we'll start with you.
I think it's basically that it works. You're clicking on the link and everyone is joining. I don't have many meetings where people have trouble joining a Teams meeting. I can really not even remember a time where this happens, but it just works. You can put on your video, you can pick your microphone, and you can start talking and get things done. So yeah, this is probably the thing I like the most.
That's a very fair point, just that it works. I, with the number of years I've supported the US Department of Defense, finding a platform that works in their environment has been very hard. Teams is one of the few modern platforms where it's worked for almost every single one of the customers. Maybe there's some idiosyncrasies with each of them, but the fact that I've been able to schedule a meeting with a DoD customer using Teams and they can just join, they don't have to install anything, they don't have to have specialty browsers, although there's some suggestions, absolutely great example of one of the best features of Microsoft Teams for meetings. Matt, what do you think?
I have to echo that one. I think that the not having to download is the biggest win because you can't even join a Zoom call without downloading the app for Zoom, right? Yep. And Zoom is the one that's gotten all the love for the last 4 or 5 months. I think I've really been a fan of live meetings as well. I have spoken at a couple online conferences over the last couple months where they have been I'll say they really pushed the eat our own dog food mentality, which I think is really good. And they did the entire conference on Team. So Comsverse just did that, and they had a channel for every vendor, and they had a channel for every session, and they had all these breakout sessions afterwards that were channel meetings, but they did live events for the actual presentation. And I was pleasantly surprised, because a live event, if you want to get into that, it's really cool, really useful, but you need a little bit of time to play around with it and understand what it does. But it's great for a webinar. It's great for a town hall. You can have auto captions put on. You can have recordings automatically made, all that kind of stuff. And it's really great because it's almost like a news reel. Like, you know, you can have you and you can have your slides on the same page looking, you know, at each other. And you don't have to worry about the grid view or somebody spoke, so now they're going to show up on the screen from now on. Like, you have full control. And you can get really complex on a video production level. Not that I have, but it's really not harder to produce from the end user side, being the one speaking and whatnot. So I've been pretty impressed with that. I think that's a little known feature that's there that people could really make a lot from.
Yeah, we use live meetings for our town halls for AvePoint. We've got approximately 2,000 people worldwide, and we do the town hall split for the APAC region and for the Americas region, so that from a times perspective. But being able to do that broadcast, you know, if you're trying to figure out how do you get people to interact, you mentioned using Teams and separating Teams channels out. It's a great idea. We also use internally Yammer, where we talk during the town hall and ask questions. And then, like you said, a couple of conferences that I've been to that have been awesome, just being able to be part of that experience. And for those of you listening who didn't listen to it, Craig and I had an interview 2 or 3 episodes ago. I'll make sure it's in the link, where we talked about using live meetings for the virtual M365 marathon, which was an amazingly well-handled conference. It had 26,000 attendees across 36 hours, and they used the live meeting capability. It was awesome. Sven, do you want to talk a little bit about what's next for you, what you're working on regarding Office 365 and the Microsoft platform?
Yeah, I am currently working on being a bit more present on my blog, to be honest.
Okay.
Writing some articles for that, and tapping into the Power platform in the next weeks, getting my hand on Power Apps and Power Automate a bit, and try to integrate those to Microsoft Teams for some solutions.
Excellent.
And also keeping up the user voice of the week, of course.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, so check out User Voice. I'll put a link to it, but also, you know, jump on Sven's LinkedIn and see when he posts the User Voice of the Week. It's interesting to see what people are requesting and how Microsoft is publicly responding to each of those requests. And frankly, that's how we find out about some of the new features in development, is because they post on the User Voice that it is, you know, oh, we're working on it. Oh, it's on the roadmap. So it's really an interesting place to keep an eye on what's going on.
And if Matt, you haven't looked at User Voice in like the last few months, it is turned upside down based on the fact that there's, you know, 5 times as many daily active users in Teams that there were back in February, which is really kind of interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my favorite to see is how engaged the education industry has gotten in Microsoft
Definitely.
Teams.
Yeah.
My wife is a high school and college professor, and her high school, the public school district she works for high school utilizes Teams for their office hours, for some of their class stuff. So it's been really interesting seeing that industry take charge and really push the envelope with what's possible.
Yeah, definitely.
Matt, what's next for you?
So anybody looking to take the periodic table Office 365, or basically any sort of table of like apps, a list of all the different apps that you have. So if you happen to be an organization that is still, you know, bouncing between G Suite and Office 365 or whatever, you are able to build a nice launch pad that has an article associated with each. You can write your own. And that's basically what Jump 365 offers these days, is that customizable launchpad to your modern workplace, effectively. And on top of that, I'm in the process of putting together a 1-day crash course Teams training. So I'm basically going to make myself available to organizations that want to go forward and do a 4-hour crash course with their organization, or 8 hours, and you know, spend a little time with me ahead of time to talk about what do you want to do, and sort of, you know, not do that whole big picture. Here's a 7-week consulting engagement and it's going to cost you at least $70,000, that kind of thing. But like, nope, here's sure. a one-off thing. You can probably, you know, do it on your P card and move forward from there and just kind of get a good idea and get realigned now that so many people have been pulled into this stage pretty much kicking and screaming. And, you know, find out what you didn't do right or find out what you're doing right and sort of, you know, merge things together to keep a best practice moving forward.
That is honestly one of the most successful things I've had over the last 2 years working in this particular space is helping people identify what questions should they be asking.
Yeah.
So that's great to hear. I look forward to bumping into you in the space and sharing some information on that. Sven, Matt, thank you so much for giving us a great episode of This Week in Teams. Tune back next week if you want to hear more about what's going on. We've had some interesting articles pop up over the last week about meetings and about the features that we're expecting to see. So thank you for helping us with our gap week on technology releases. And gentlemen, good luck with the book and good luck with your next steps professionally.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you.